Ben Moore has been in love with bees for as long as anyone can remember. And as far as we can tell, the feeling is entirely mutual. Although he still sometimes feels the sting of his passion. Hang around, learn a little. It's as sweet as honey and always a buzz. It's the Ultimate Pollinators Podcast with Ben, his friends and associates, and of course, Ben's bees.
Hey everyone, Bees with Ben. Thank you so much for your patience. It's been a couple of weeks since I got a podcast out. That's probably because of a couple of reasons. One, I've been super busy, obviously leading up to the Bee Congress that was just on recently. That was awesome. So I was absolutely fortunate enough to go there to Sydney, and where did we have some awesome weather. So the 4th Australian Bee Congress was on the 8th to 11th of June 2022. Next one will be on in 4 years. Actually interesting. So it was the fourth one. The first one I think was in 1972 in Gold Coast, and it was 1988 in Gold Coast. And then the third one, which was 4 years ago, was in the Gold Coast. And this, the fourth one, was in Sydney, which is really cool. So for those who didn't get a chance to go, wow, I think there was near on, someone told, I heard the word 600 people, delegates. I also heard 400 delegates. But anyway, it was hundreds of people. So everyone seeing some awesome speakers, which was really cool to see. There was actually a really cool trade shows, so where everyone's selling their products and displaying new products. A couple of standout ones were really good. So Nupas were there, seeing obviously all their sort of gear there and new designs. Got this little, it was actually really well made. As much as I'm not sort of a fan of plastic, it's, you know, it does have its uses. These plastic nuke boxes, which are like RTG, ready to go, which I thought was really, really cool. That was kind of a standout thing there. We've got the Hive, I think it was IQ, which is, we're going to have, I actually spoke to Victor. Now, Victor's, I think he's based in Canberra. It was really cool to actually have a chat with him. So there's these, I think they're ESP foam boxes. So like your Lyson, like your Paradise, but guess what? They are made here, down under, down in Australia. So, yeah, that's right, the Hive IQ. And there's some really interesting things that they've done. There's little add-ons that they can do, and obviously entrances, closes, and some really cool things there. So we're going to have Victor on talking to us about that coming up in the not-too-distant future. What else was good? There was, as I said, the speakers were awesome. Some really, really cool speakers talking about all sorts of things from, I think, James Watt from Wild Labs talking about bee venom, which is really, really cool. Let me grab my little book here. So there was a couple of good ones. Professor Ben Aldroyd, really awesome. So he's always good. He's an absolutely fantastic speaker. Nikki Jones from the Victorian Biosecurity was talking about the Varroa response, state quarantine response teams, and all things biosecurity, which is really cool. Who else was there? Hunger Fitter Printing. By Professor Cornelia Lockair, which is really cool. That was interesting. Interesting, where one of the big subjects everyone was talking about at the conference was the, you know, the price of honey. So on a wholesale level, you know, a lot of these big beekeepers, you know, really, really big ones, they've actually sort of struggled with the price because there's been a really good surplus year, though. Obviously, a lot of mallee flowers went up in, are done really well. So there's a lot of surplus honey. So your big companies like obviously Beechworth, they're pretty stock up with honey. The Capilano are full. So a lot of these big packers are quite full of honey. So interesting. So those are really, so those are topic, the big topic of discussion up there. Also the other one, which we all know and we all want to stop it and fix it and solve this problem, is imported honey, which is probably not, obviously clearly not helping our local domestic market with honey. But talking about that and hearing beekeepers, and it's fair enough, you know what I mean, all this dodgy honey coming from overseas, and it's not just China, you know, and it's coming from other countries. I think Argentina will get a lot of honey from them as well. And it's just not fair. So, yeah, that's why it's so important to actually, you know, support local beekeepers. And that could be anywhere from Tasmania, Western Australia, Northern Territory, because we do, and I'm not being sort of patriotic, but we do have the best, healthiest bees in the world. So actually another one was really cool. Another speakers, I watched a lot of speakers. So it was a kind of like almost a 4-day event. Really recommend that in 4 years, if you're keen on bees. Now, you know, you've got beekeepers there with running 1,000 hives, like Lindsay Calloway from Worrell Mould and Honey. He's running, I think, sort of 3,000 hives. But there was beekeepers there, you know, there was a couple of people there, one, two hives. You know, there is just so, so much to learn, which I absolutely loved. But it was really cool. So talking to Lindsay, which is, he had a really good, amazing talk on this system of moving bees in a truck, and it's all like semi-refrigerated with these misters and things, so it's really cool. So I'm going to have him on talking about that, which was all looking forward to that. Actually, another bit of there's a French lad, Kevin Fannier, and he working on creating a pheromone lure for the African small hive beetle, because for us in Victoria, it hasn't been much of an issue as bad as it has been up north. You know, New South Wales, Queensland, you know, I'm hearing a lot of hives just got smashed and slimed out from those little buggers. So really some really cool research there. But no, so I suppose a highlight for me is just, you know what, meeting people as well. Learning, you know, is always something to learn. That's what I love about bees. But meeting people, putting a name to the face and talking, you know, people's passions. It's really cool. People love it. You know what I mean? And everyone's got their own little expertise, their own little passion. So that was really, really cool. Now, that leads me into our next person on the podcast, Alex. Now, I bumped into Alex. Now, Alex, this is fantastic episode, this one. So I hope you enjoy it. Talking to Alex. Now, Alex is from Ukraine. And he's only a young bloke, and I love his accent. Got that thick, you know, sort of Ukrainian accent. Absolutely love it. And he's got some really cool stories to tell. And, you know, bees in Ukraine. And we're going to get him on again down the track too, because we just absolutely skimmed the surface, because he just mentioned after I finished recording a podcast, he was working in Poland for a couple of years with bees. And so really, really cool stuff. But he was working, and we're going to hear all about it. But so a little bit of a spoiler alert this one, but we're going to hear he was working for Warren Taylor, you know, managing over, I think it was like near on 10,000 hives, breeding 120,000 queens per year. So we're going to hear about that, which is really cool. And the other one was he's since moved, I think two and a bit years ago, to Terry Brown, who's also does more honey production. So we're going to hear all about that. So hope you like this podcast. How'd you find the conference, Alex?
It was pretty good, organized. I've been 3 days there, and nice trade show and speakers. A lot of communication, a lot of talks with beekeepers. That problem was what I found for me was my favorite part of conference, that talking with another beekeepers and sharing his ideas. And yeah, I saw many interesting things there and got some idea. Probably most interesting for me was this project about fingerprints, honey.
Yes,
honey.
Yes.
You remember? Unfortunately, it's only in WA, but it's a great opportunity to beekeepers to show and prove their quality of their honey. And I see that it's like type of standard for honey, because it can. It's putting big influence on price, because many beekeepers are doing different types of honey, and how we can prove that what honey, how much it should cost. Like one can say that, oh, my honey, it costs $15. Another can tell, no, it can have to cost $3. So in all this argument, we can send honey to the laboratory, and we can see about of purity and quality, and we can find out better with price when we can see this all analysis.
Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree. There was a lot of talk on there, Alex, about pricing, and obviously with, you know, price of, you know, everything going up, from diesel bills to, well, basically everything, you know, look at now. And exactly, everything going up. So and obviously the price of honey wholesale going down. But yeah, it was interesting. Was there one particular talk or that you loved the most at the conference?
The Sorry, you mean could you repeat, please?
Oh, sorry. Is it in one? Was it one like particular like subject talk? Obviously, you mentioned about obviously with the you know the honey and sort of all the fingerprinting, the honey and so forth. But was there was that your favorite talk at the actual the, you know at the conference?
Yeah, that's what that was my favorite. What this project with me, which was very like I was excited after I saw this the, this fingerprints with this analysis.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, I saw that one too. That was awesome. Now I'm gonna have the listeners ask me. You've got an accent.
sorry. Yeah, in advance I have to. My apologies because yeah, I'm still in progress in my English level, so but I'm sure we can understand each other. But
oh no, your English is fine. No, it's absolutely fine. So tell the listeners where you're from.
I'm from Ukraine.
No worries at all. And how, obviously, we hear, you know, someone's from Ukraine. We got asked a question, you know, Aussies, we're back in Ukraine. I think so's, you know, nearly every other country in the world. How's your family doing, you know, friends and family back home with what's going on?
I'm from west part of Ukraine, so there's no any fights. And fortunately, I'm lucky with it, but total situation is really miserable. All of us we waiting and when it will finish and it was hard to predict because nobody expect that Russia can do this act this war and yeah it was. Very hard.
Of course, it's hard and it's absolutely devastating. And you know, and as I said, it's Ukraine has the Aussies full support. You know, I mean, which is
helping a lot for the Ukraine for the Ukrainians, and I'm really appreciate for it. And even many people, many of my friends here in Australia, they always calling asking. And they are helping how they can. They donate some money to organization, or they offering even the apartment house. Like government implement some program with some special visa, humanitarian visa for Ukrainians, and it's really good for those people who. Lost everything, and they can come here or in other countries, and yeah, so
yeah, definitely tough, and that's something I did myself. And you know, anyone listening, you know, definitely, you know, I mean, just a few bucks, you know, I mean, a few dollars, you know, send it to your Ukraine. How I did it was actually I've done it twice. One was to a beekeeper. Sergey in Ukraine helped him with a few dollars, and then another way I did it was Airbnb. So found someone with Airbnb and actually sent the money that way. And as I said, just if we all do a little bit, it sort of helps the people. So so definitely, you know, if you're listening and you've got a couple of dollars, definitely send it to Ukraine because they're doing it tough for sure. So Alex, when did you first come to Australia? How long ago? When was that?
Oh, it was 3 years ago, and first with who I work, it was Rose and Warren Taylor. Yeah, it was. I was lucky to start working with them because they are one of the biggest, probably their biggest queen producers in Australia. At that time, it was 120,000 mating queens per season.
Wow!
So, wow. Yeah, it's really a lot, and. All these tricks and tips, they taught me all these technologies and how to do it effectively, and they're really really nice people and I'm appreciate for them. So now I'm working with Terry Brown.
Okay.
So it's another stage. And yeah, 3 years I'm already here. So it's
Yeah, interesting. So that's we're going to talk all about that, but we'll just go back a little step. So you were working with some bees a little bit in Ukraine too. So tell us about the difference between keeping bees in Ukraine and keeping bees in Australia.
Yeah, so in Ukraine, I mean, it's beekeeping. It's a family business or you know, family tradition, and I'm a beekeeper in fourth generation.
Yes. Yep.
So, but it was always like a part. Probably I'm doing it like on the full time. My great grandfather. Yes.
Yes.
So he was just it was like a hobby and. For his son, it was already like more than hobby, and my father is almost full time, and now me it's like full time. So it's all stages to developing from hobby to professional beekeeping. And main difference in beekeeping is probably that I would say that varroa that yes. There is no varroa mite here in Australia, and we know that varroa can transmit many types of viruses. It's approximately 12 types. And that's a big problem because bees cannot breed effectively and you need to use many treatments. And some of them it's heavy treatments, like heavy chemicals. And it can affect on the quality of honey and also quality of genetics of bees. Here is with fortunately in Australia it's still no varroa.
Yeah.
And another difference is with mechanization, and in this I mean that in Australia it's still not bad good price for honey, and beekeepers can buy trucks, can buy forklift,
yes.
And they can develop their business more effectively than in Ukraine, because still of the not great price in Ukraine for the honey.
What flavor honeys, Alex, do you get in Ukraine? What's the most common one?
So in Ukraine, the main type of honey is sunflower honey.
Okay. Yeah.
Sunflower and. Also, there is a lot of acacia honey, but it's not every year you can get this honey. It's a tricky one. And also linden tree. Maybe you hear about linden.
The linden, yep.
Linden honey and buckwheat honey. It's popular. So as I thought that Australia is isolated and it can be like a advantage, and but also can be like disadvantage, because we cannot see, we cannot share with experience easily like in Europe. In Europe, for example, in Ukraine we can buy some good stock from of queens from Germany or from. Mainly from Germany because there is one of the best breeding programs there, and or from Poland, and we can exchange with this stock and it's easy to do. But here in Australia, we are close. We have to develop our own selection programs, and it's still in progress.
Yeah.
Still in progress, and I'm asking all many times my friends. Where are you getting queens? And they're also asking where are you getting? And now in big questions for many beekeepers where to get good queens, good quality queens without disease, with good characteristics. In Ukraine it's easier to do. It's much easier to do. We have some types of local bees. Mainly it's Carniolan bees. And as well, we have Ligustica, Italian bees, and it's very popular also to keep some backfast. Maybe you heard about backfast in hybrid.
Yes, yes.
But you know, only mainly build it on crossbreeding. So when we crossing some lines, we can have in first generation up to 30% production honey productivity.
Yes. Yep.
But after that, it's going down, and you need again to buy some the stock. So yeah, it's one of the main differences.
Yeah. Wow. It's interesting. You just mentioned the sunflower honey, and I only recently learnt this because there's a bloke I know who actually makes like a. It's kind of like a muesli type mix with all seeds and nuts. And Ukraine produces the most amount of sunflower seeds in the world. And I only just recently. Yeah, and that goes for quite a few other things. Yeah, it is. It's really. I just learned that the soil is really rich and high in nutrients. I've never tried sunflower honey. I've tried many honeys. But how would you describe sunflower honey, Alex?
Oh, sunflower honey is one of the type of honey which crystallizes very fast.
Okay.
So it can be like canola.
Yep.
Type of kind of like canola, very very easy, and it's canola. It's more like white honey and good for creaming, and sunflower also very good for creaming, but it's yellow. It's very bright yellow color.
Okay.
It's not very strong taste, sunflower honey. But it's, I don't know, for some reason it's not popular in Ukraine because it's a lot of this type of honey, so it's not popular. And
okay.
Maybe like you hear also eucalyptus honey, like people, that's eucalyptus honey. That's like, I think they want Manuka honey or they want some Jara honey or something else. They,
yes.
All people, when the customers, they always want something special. But they cannot understand that it's a quality of honey. It's more important than variety of honey.
Yeah.
Even some Manuka honey can be overheated and can be not so good with nutrition proportion and like some good local honey, eucalyptus honey from beekeeper, and even with better price.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. That's really interesting. So now you've come to Australia. So this is what, six years ago, and you're working for Warren Taylor. Now, what was that you mentioned obviously about the queens, 120,000 queens. That's
3 years.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah.
So what were the, I suppose, Alex, the best parts and the worst parts of working for Taylor's?
Best and worst part working for Taylor.
Yeah.
For me, it was first year, so I couldn't see any like bad parts because I was excited first year in new place. Everything is new, you know. And,
yeah, of course. Yeah.
And bees technology. First, I started working with Italian bees. Before, it was always Carniola, no any yellow bees, always black bees. Probably was not very good because they are more aggressive from some reason here.
Okay.
in Australia. Not all of them, but they are more aggressive, and usually I never used gloves or some like veil. But here I start working with gloves in with full bee suit, and yeah, this was quite difference in this, but best part, that experience and knowledge which I received.
Yes.
Because they're using technology which are improved through the years and which can give very good result. I don't know anyone who can repeat this experience.
Okay. Yep.
Even now, even it's still that it's well known, like. And anyone can go and ask them how does it work, and they have some tips, but it's pretty easy to they're welcome to share with all this information. And still No one, I don't know, no who doing so much queens like they did.
Okay, yeah, that's incredible. That's amazing. And so, how long are you working for Taylor's for before you went to Terry Brown?
One year, one season.
Okay.
Oh, one year because it was in 1 year. It was I got two seasons.
Okay, two seasons. Okay, 1 year with two seasons. Mm-hmm. And so and how long you been so? How long you been working with for Terry Brown for Alex?
2 years.
2 years. Awesome. Okay, fantastic. And now, what I suppose the same question. What's the best part and the worst part of working for Terry Brown?
Okay, so very more orientated to honey production, and best part it's probably I received more knowledge out in honey production.
Yes.
Yep. Direction.
That's interesting. So, mm-hmm. so when you say so with the honey production, so what would be like, you know, let's say we'll go back, say maybe start of the year, January, February, March, around then, what I guess is your job? Like, you know, from day to day, what time are you starting, what time you finish, and what are you doing during the working day, Alex?
What I'm doing during the day, yeah?
Yeah, so when you've been working, so we'll go, obviously it's kind of winter now, so it obviously changes as I'm recording this podcast in June, but let's say during, say, start of the year, like what would your job entail, during a week, say, you know, January, February, March, you get up, and obviously off to work, what would you be doing?
Type of question of like a company. I know that not many, owners want to share with, some details, but I will try. So, like usually they're starting from canola. I think the beekeeper starting from canola, it's like big advantage to develop good and strong colonies.
Yes.
And after, depends of situation, it might be macadamia or if some local eucalyptus. After that, we slowly start doing more queens.
Yeah, okay.
And it's a good temperature for doing queens in September, and it's mix of queens and honey productions, and as well as a lot of splitting in like everywhere in springtime, and end of season. Usually, it still need to see about this current situation, because we sometimes we can expect some type of honey or like spotted gum we expect in 1 in 4 years or some another types which we can expect every 2 years. So we're trying to predict some flora, to analyze the flora resources and put our hives in place where we can have some good honey crop. And after that, in the end of season, just to prepare everything and to put in good condition for winter, to leave everything in for good winter condition. And I forgot about this checking. It's one of the main important things in the begin of season and end of season. That they always we starting and we finishing with disease check.
Okay.
So it would be like one of the like mandatory things for all beekeepers, because one of the best actually time for doing this is begin of season and end of season, because colonies are not so strong. It's easy to do, and it's best time to do, because from begin if you will not do it, if you can leave it for the middle of season. In middle of season, we already can have some disaster. We can have some big problem. And end of season, we also cannot leave for winter sick colonies. We need to prevent it. So at least 2 disease inspections per year.
Yes.
It begin and end. It should be like must be. And I suppose that indeed, like in short, I can, that's everything what I can tell, but I hope you can also get some, make some podcast with Terry, and he can open about more like widely about, because it's his, you know, that his company is like his baby, you know, and he will be best who can talk about it.
No, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say, definitely have to ask Terry when you get a chance. When are you back at work tomorrow, Alex?
Actually, now I'm on holiday.
Oh, awesome!
Yeah.
Okay, so when you go back and you see Terry, say you heard of this podcast that a couple of people listened to, and we'll get him on, because that'll be good. That'll be good to hear from him. So when you're on holidays now, when do you go back to work?
I still have 3 weeks.
Oh, a couple of weeks. 3 weeks. Awesome. And what are you doing? Are you traveling? Are you going anywhere? What's the plans for the next couple of weeks?
My plan is just study English now. Without language, I cannot share with my knowledge. I cannot get more information and give more information, and the main things with in immigration in other countries, that language barrier, because I can understand a lot still, but to feel free and to do it easy, it still need time.
Yeah, of course, and I totally understand, because my partner, English is not her first language; it's Spanish. So you know, So she's from Colombia. So if anyone understands, it's me. But my Spanish is terrible.
And that's in this podcast. What are you doing? That's really great things, because people can listen and can hear like real experience from life of other beekeepers, and they can study on their mistakes and their success. That's great thing. That I would say need to make some books of beekeepers, about beekeepers and about their life, and it can be very helpful for other generations. And really, that's like treasury, you know, this podcast files are like treasury for other beekeepers. And I know that not many beekeepers are happy to share with their secrets. They like to keep it. They know that they think that they can lose some income if they are sharing with ideas, if they are sharing with some technologies. But from my experience, I can see that even if you can tell everything how to do it and in all details, there's not many people who can repeat it. Yeah. Because it's about the talents and abilities. So don't need to be afraid with sharing ideas and experience, because it's only coming, and if technologies are changing, so sometimes in one period it can be our technologies can be already expired and not worse, nothing, because technology is really going very fast.
Oh, totally. Very fast. I totally agree. Totally agree with you, Alex. And it's, sharing knowledge. And I think people are becoming, more likely to share knowledge these days. And the other thing is, too, you just mentioned about a book. There is a good book. I interviewed him last year, Steve Donohue, and he wrote a book. It's called Interviews with Beekeepers. And it's a big yellow book. So that was a really, really good one to look out for. That particular book. But Alex, I just want to say that was absolute awesome. I really appreciate your time. And that was really great to meet you at the conference and to hear your story. So thank you so much, Alex. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Ben. Thank you for your time.
Right, no worries at all. Thank you, and you take care, and look forward to catching up again in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah, sure.
Take care. All the best. Take care, Alex. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Ciao. How fantastic was that? That was an interview with Alex from Ukraine, which was awesome to hear. How cool would that be? Absolutely amazing. The knowledge of learning and working with, say, two big beekeepers. They're breeding 120,000 queens in with Taylor's, Warren Taylor. That's absolutely amazing. So, and to learn so much about that, which is really, really cool. And to hear Alex talk about with Terry Brown, and Terry Brown was at the conference there. I didn't get a chance to actually bump into him, but I was there. So really, thank you so much, Alex, for your time. That was absolutely awesome. So don't forget, if you want to hear someone, got some awesome episodes coming up. Soon we're going to have Jodie Goldsworthy. I've been saying it for a little bit, but we're going to get her on the podcast. She's been just been really super, super busy getting bees ready for winter. And so that's what we're going to do. The plan is to get obviously a lot of beekeepers in Australia over winter, and then obviously I just stop it for spring because it's that crazy busy time and you can't get hold of a beekeeper. Probably can't even get hold of me sometimes. I'm sort of that busy. So thank you once again for listening. Really appreciate your time. And don't forget, take care of yourself, take care of each other, and take care of those bees. Bye for now.